Hello, I'm Daniel Weiss, your host, and you are listening to Average to Exceptional podcast. My aim with this podcast is to inspire you, to empower you, so you take the steps necessary to improve your performance, personal and business life, take charge of your health and emotional state, and live a fulfilled life. Hello all, it's Daniel, and in today's episode, me and Eliza from Follow Your Intuition will be speaking about eating disorders and intuitive eating. And I believe this is a very important message to share, because when you think about eating disorders, everybody will speak about weight loss, losing weight, and being overweight. But truth to be told, there is also the polar opposite of that, and this is like things like orthorexia, anorexia, bulimia, which can be very dangerous. And like Eliza said during our podcast, it's like when you say you are eating healthily, and everybody will be like, yeah, but what's wrong with that? Well, there is nothing wrong until it becomes too restrictive, and we want to be aware. And I would love to spread that awareness around these things, because it touched me to some point that I was restricting maybe even too much, or I started feeling like I'm restricting too much and I'm in a recovery. So hopefully you will get a lot of value from this, and you will identify that you might be slipping into kind of things like orthorexia, and that you will be afterwards able to stop it in its tracks and get on the right path, where you enjoy food, enjoy eating healthily. There's nothing wrong with eating healthy, but don't restrict yourself too much so it doesn't affect your life in a negative way. Okay, so without further ado, this is Eliza. Please welcome her, sit back, enjoy your coffee, enjoy your tea. Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching some of your videos yesterday, and I really love all the content that you are putting.
Yeah, thank you.
I also learned a lot of stuff, and it's been going like hand in hand with what I already know, but there were also some things that I didn't know of before. So, yeah, can you tell me a little, or let's start this way, like, can you tell me a little something more about yourself? Like, because you seem to be on that quest or on that mission to help people to recover from bad dietary patterns and live a happier life in that way, I would say. So,
yeah.
What was the starting point for you?
So, I recovered from my eating disorders. Like, I had bulimia and orthorexia, and this is how my journey led me, like, slowly towards like helping other people and.
But how did you develop it, actually? The orthorexia is choosing the healthy, or basically having this kind of relationship with food when something is healthy, then something else is unhealthy, right? And following this kind of guidelines.
Yeah. So, like, I had some health problems when I was about 20 years old. I developed, I had very stressful period in my life. And now I think that because of the stress in my life, I had some like hormonal issues, and therefore I had this like acne on my face and some digestive problems. And I didn't simply want to take like medication or pills that can have like a very bad side effect. So I wanted to like heal myself more naturally. And I started to look online, like what other people have been through. And a lot of the times it came up to like eat healthier and change your diet. And there is nothing wrong with like healthy eating. But like this is how my journey started with eating disorder, because I thought that genuinely I'm doing the best thing for my health and for my body by just not choosing the medication, but actually trying to heal myself from inside out. But at the same time, I didn't know that the healthy eating can go so far that it becomes like unhealthy for you. And yes, you can develop orthorexia, you can develop binge eating, food obsessions, like overeating, constant stress about food. You are so afraid of eating some kind of foods you ate before. You develop this like over focus on food and like a huge stress around eating. So with my bulimia, I was like binging and then like purging, and I knew that this is not healthy anymore. But at the same time, I was so into the healthy eating mindset and the dogma around like processed food and junk food and like some food causing cancer and all kinds of illnesses. So I didn't know like how to come out of it. At the same time, I was trapped by the healthy eating mindset, and I was way out of balance. So this is how my eating disorder started.
Right, that is very interesting, because also, I mean, I'm a lot into like healthy eating and promoting, well, let's call it healthy foods and whole foods diets and this kind of thing to support yourself, your energy levels, and yeah, getting healthy in general, so you have energy to do things that matter to you. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I really started to also noticing these things like going into orthorexia or something like that. I can definitely see some signs of that, so I'm more aware of it right now. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, it's like we want to do something, or this is my view of the things. We want to do something, we want to improve our health, and we start being interested into that, and then we search maybe on the internet, and well, even if we don't search nowadays, like there is so much information about diets, and many people want to lose weight or have some health issues, like you mentioned, maybe skin acne or whatever, and we start pursuing this kind of picture of a perfect body. And yeah, in combination with all this information and a lot of confusing information, it can develop into some kind of eating disorder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like orthorexia is so sneaky eating disorder, because like most people see no problem with like healthy eating. Like, yeah, like, you are just eating healthy, like don't worry about it, you know, like why am I so worried about it? Like, you're just doing the best thing for your body. Like obviously with something like anorexia, when somebody's like underweight, or bulimia, when somebody's like purging, like this is like, of course this is eating disorder. But even normal people, they don't see anything wrong with like healthy eating. And with my case, it was the same. I didn't even knew kind of like I can have orthorexia, like eating disorder. I just thought that, but I'm just trying to eat healthy, like healthy eating. I thought that healthy eating actually helps me to overcome my bulimia, because I thought that I'm binging because some foods are addicting to me.
Yeah.
You know, like physically, like some chemicals in the junk food or processed food are like making my body addicted to them. So that's why I thought that actually healthy eating is helping my eating disorder. And this is exactly why I was trapped for so long. But it's more about the mindset you have around the food and eating, like good and bad foods, and avoiding foods when you crave them, and not allowing your body to make the decisions. You would just like, the restrictive mindset is the kind of the number one thing why like the orthorexia and everything is just like, it's another eating disorder.
Yes, yes. So basically we're just switching bulimia for orthorexia.
Yeah, and they can go hand in hand as well. Like some people who have orthorexia, they have anorexia as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically your YouTube channel is called Follow Intuition.
Yeah.
I really loved it, and it's like, I would say, ideal state, right? You want to listen to your body, listen to the cues, like when to eat, how to eat, what to eat. And it may sound even very idealistic, I would say. Do you think that this is the kind of approach that is achievable for everybody?
What do you mean, like idealistic? Like people to follow their body or something?
Yeah, I mean that, okay, so a specific example. For example, you have these kind of cues that you are hungry or you are not hungry when you are hungry. But for example, when we take coffee or cigarettes or maybe even exercise, these things can either make you more hungry or dump your hunger. So in that case, you don't really or can't listen to your body sometimes, right? Because for example, I after exercise don't feel hungry and I need to do that mechanically or at this stage. Maybe I could do that intuitively, I'm not sure. So I would like to know your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is one of the biggest misconceptions people have around intuitive eating and why they don't trust intuitive eating and why they even think that it's impossible, because they maybe think that intuitive eating is only about following your like hunger and fullness cues or like your taste thoughts or like what you crave at the moment. But intuitive eating is like listening to your body as a whole, and this actually includes your brain. And having some like common sense around food and eating, and also using some nutrition knowledge, like just like common sense. I don't need to have like a science degree in nutrition to logically know some of those things. And I can do some like research, like as you know about the exercise and stuff. And also, for example, when people are recovering from anorexia, some of them don't even have hunger signals. So for them, if they would listen to their hunger and fullness, they would still have anorexia.
Yeah,
exactly. So like there is like so many different cases where you have to also include your like the brain and logical thinking in the intuitive eating. And actually in the book Intuitive Eating, this is also said that it includes your brain, using your brain as well as your body signals.
Well, I love the definition, but now it makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And also, for example, when we are into this dieting, then we listen too much to our brain and our like knowledge and what we read and what everybody else is thinking. And we listen too little our body. But the other extreme is kind of like only listening to your body or kind of the like signals, but ignoring totally what your brain is telling you about, like just having common sense around food. So intuitive eating is not one or the other, it's kind of the balance with both of them.
Yeah, so I'm happy to hear that, because it's from the whole picture perspective. Now I'm thinking like really not only about diet and nutrition and stuff, but from the perspective of the whole picture of how I understand life, it's about balance, right?
Yes.
We are, it's kind of overstatement to some extent, you know, like balance, it has been a buzzword, especially in the late years. And yeah, but it's always about balancing one thing to another. And somebody, as you mentioned, have a tendency to follow the body too much. So maybe they need balance with some knowledge. And then there is a person who has too much knowledge, but is not connected with their body. So I would ask you, like, what tips would you give to people to get maybe more in touch with their body, with their hunger cues, and to listen to their body? Because, correct me if I'm wrong or if you understand it in a different way, I think that nowadays people are like very distracted by phones, by applications, Facebook, video, whatever. And I think this is one of the things that distracts you, even for example when you are eating, so you eat more than you would normally, and in that case, yeah, you are not listening to your body when you are full, for example. So what would be like tips from your perspective, from your side, how to get more in touch with your body?
Yeah, I think like we have to like rewind like way back from the like you know, like not having distraction around food. Like this is kind of the maybe the last tips I would have. But like the first tip is that if you already have this like abnormal eating or abnormal, I don't know, like binge eating, overeating, like you are obsessing about food, like you have no idea like what your body is telling you. You are like a like out of balance. Maybe you even have eating disorder or just like disordered eating. Then actually, you need to kind of like reevaluate like what you're doing in a bigger picture. For example, in my experience, like do you restrict food? Are you restricting calories? Are you trying to like the weight loss and dieting? It can be a major thing how people actually develop this abnormal hunger signals, because the body just like, we are not like naturally designed to respond well with dieting, because your body has no idea that you are dieting versus if you are starving. Like your body doesn't know that you just want to kind of lose weight, like 5 pounds or something.
Yeah.
So like this can mess up your body, because our body has this biological like functions, and it tries to compensate for the lack of calories coming in to protect you. For example, the starvation mode can kick in, like your metabolism slows down, and then you have increased hunger signals. Your body literally like forces you to start thinking about more food, so you would eat more. So the number one thing to actually start to get back to intuitive eating is to like stop all kinds of restriction rules around food and eating, and like what you can do, what you can't do, and also dieting. So this is my like number one thing. And there is like so much to talk about, and this is why I wrote my book about recovery, because I think like recovery can apply to people who have eating disorder, but also like diet recovery is a real thing. Like people need to recover from diets, and recovery period is not kind of like yet the intuitive eating or normal eating, because if you recover from dieting, years of weird food rules, your mental view of food is so skewed, you know, like the bad and good foods mindset and everything, then recovery period, like maybe you're gonna need to kind of like eat like the quote unquote like unhealthy food to actually find balance again. Like yeah. I needed to do that. I needed to allow myself actually to eat the like junk food, because previously I was binging on junk food when I had orthorexia. I had no idea why. And then in recovery, I had to face this fear and eat this food, and then like tell myself that it's okay. I'm never going to restrict myself. I can eat whatever I want. And then over time, actually this craving for the junk food, it just balanced out and it went away, because I was no longer restricting, no longer viewing any food as good or bad. And the recovery period is not intuitive eating, but this will kind of restore like the intuitive eating cues over time. I don't know if it makes sense. And also for some people in eating disorder recovery, when they start to like not purge, not over-exercise, they skip all dieting restrictive behaviors, actually they can develop something called extreme hunger. And this is not the same as like just binging on food, but it's actually like there is a real reason why you need to like eat so much. It's not because your body is stupid. It's not because you're not like emotional eating, or you are like addicted to foods, or you have no willpower or self-control. It's just like from your body, like rebellious act from your body after the years of restriction and deprivation. You know, like the the survival mode kicking in. You know, like, give me food. We have been so deprived for years, so give me food. And many people will see that this is not intuitive eating. Like, you are overeating. This is not intuitive eating. So how come it's healthy for you? But recovery period is not same as, like, intuitive eating, you know, like eating, like, balanced, or like eating when hungry, stopping when full. And this is why, like, to restore the balance, you have to go literally to another, you know, like the other side of the scale to restore the balance. Yes. You understand what I mean?
You need to go to the other extreme to find the boundaries.
Yeah. And like, you don't need to, like I need to go there, but you just have to, like, allow your body do what it's asked you to do and trust your body. For example, if I'm gonna hold my breath, I'm gonna hold my breath for like 1 minute. Then do you think if I start to breathe again, I just want to breathe normally? No, I'm gonna gasp for air. I'm gonna be like, give me air as much as possible, because I have been so, like, deprived from oxygen. Or if I'm gonna deprive myself from sleep, do you think my body will just be like, yeah, like 7 hours of sleep is good? No, your body is gonna be like so exhausted. It's gonna sleep a lot of rest, a lot of time to rebalance the sleep deprivation. So after being through dieting and restricting, like, your body doesn't just want, like, oh, just normal amount of food. No, it wants to eat so much and eat all the foods you restricted, and it needs to rest a lot because you have been just so hyper, like stressed out your body with, like, over exercising and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So actually this restores the balance over time, and the intuitive eating as well. And the intuitive eating is not like another, you know, like, oh, like intuitive eating, like try the new approach of intuitive eating. Intuitive eating is something that we are born with. You know, like babies born with intuitive eating. They are kind of telling their mother when they're full, and they reject food when they're full, and like they have like normal hunger cues. So by intuitive eating, you're not like learning, you know, like a new skill, but rather you are following your body so the intuitive eating can restore itself naturally. Yes. And you're not like learning a new diet approach. So this is like very different. And intuitive eating also, it's not perfect. And as we talked about the balance before, I wanted to comment on it because like many people are so afraid that, like, if I ever overeat, then this is not intuitive eating. This is me binging, like they panic. But actually intuitive eating is not perfect. Sometimes even normal people kind of overeat, but there is no problem around it. Sometimes they undereat because they are stressed or they are super busy with work. But again, this is not like starvation. So it's flexible, because your daily life, it's not like same all the time. Yeah, and you need flexibility. And sometimes you eat when you're not hungry, just because you are celebrating with your friends. You eat ice cream or cake with your friends, even when you're not particularly hungry. But you eat for a celebration, for like, just because you feel like it, like I do it sometimes. And it's not like filling the void with food, you know, like emotional, like eating.
I'm sorry for the delay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So where did we left off?
That's the hard question. That was about, you were commenting about balance.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess I already said what I wanted about balance.
Yeah, definitely. So I would ask, like, from the perspective of, like, what you mentioned was already that is something that intuitive eating is nothing new. It is something that we have been born with, right? And basically, as we are growing older, as with everything, we get new information, new habits, and we pick up new things or new ways of behavior. And this also changes the way how we eat. So in the end, it's just reconnecting with our natural process, and it's not perfect, like you said, that sometimes you will overeat, sometimes you will undereat, sometimes you will eat more, sometimes you will eat less, and it all depends, because I really like how you put it together that, yeah, well, you don't have the monotone life, like you don't do exactly the same thing like a robot every day, so your eating will be different. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the main point here is to look at the big picture of the things and to consider it from that perspective, right? So for example, on Saturday, maybe you are out with friends and there is like your reason to eat is a social reason, not your hunger. And then don't slip into like dieting pattern or anything like that, because also what you mentioned in some of your videos, I mean, it doesn't matter that if you overeat, let's say, even if you force feed yourself, let's say one day, and you will not get fat from that one meal. Like, with the most important thing is what we do most of our time, like 80% of the time, let's say, and how you eat most of the time makes the biggest difference.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and actually what's important as well is like why I talk about recovery so much is mm-hmm. that when somebody is coming from like calorie deprivation, food deprivation, purging, overexercising, then their body is not responding the same way to like food and calories as somebody who is just like functioning in a healthy way. You know, like, right. Like metabolically and hormonally healthy. If somebody comes from dieting, they have like low metabolism, their hormones are out of whack, they are prone to overeating, they are so obsessed about food, then obviously like for their body, like their body is in a starvation mode, so it wants to gain weight actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's prone to weight gain. Because it's the starvation response and there is nothing wrong with that. But if, for example, like my body is now healthy, like metabolic or hormonally, like normal, then like I can't even force myself to binge eat, you know, because my body is like I have normal hunger signals. And if I do overeat, let's say, even when I force myself to overeat, then my body, like metabolism is so healthy, it wants to stay at my set point weight. Like the healthy body doesn't want to kind of like start gaining weight randomly, you know, and my body will just burn off the extra calories or just give me more energy or more heat or maybe reduce my hunger cues for the next meal or something. But so it's very different. Like what is your state at the moment where the calories are entering? Like what is the state of your body that your calories are entering? And this is why the response can be so different. So actually mm-hmm. like the purpose of recovery is to restore that healthy state of the body. The purpose of recovery is not kind of make you binge eat or gain right. a bunch of weight for no reason. The purpose of letting go of restriction, following your full hunger, like resting more, is actually to restore the metabolism and hunger cues and the healthy state of your body. So this is when, yes, like what you said, if you overeat some days, your body is not gonna just gain weight from that. It's just gonna burn it off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think the most important thing to consider here, and the most important is the underlying issue, which is, we mentioned it many times already, and that is fear of gaining weight, or maybe fear of, but also now that I'm thinking about it, like I think it goes even deeper. Like we are not afraid necessarily of getting heavier or gaining weight, but it has to do with the social acceptance and accepting ourselves, which I would like to get back to that underlying issue. But when we are speaking also recovering and let's say eating more in that case, for example, from restrictive dieting or from you are going from restrictions, so you want to maybe start eating more or your body is asking for more, people, because of this fear, are afraid to do that. And I encountered that also in my life, but not that I was afraid, I was just restricted because of the exercise. And I started to eat more and more. And if a person is afraid of gaining weight, so there is some tip I could give them, and I would like to also maybe hear your opinion on that, and it's called reverse dieting. And I got this concept from Lane Norton. He works with bodybuilders and these kind of guys who, you know, when they have a show, they have go to like, 3-4% body fat, and they need to restrict a lot of calories. And then you have this effect that if you start eating, you get a lot of weight back, right? Mm-hmm. After eating, maybe your body starts to hang on to the fat that, from the food that you are starting to intake. So the rest, reverse dieting is the concept to increase these calories slowly. Let's say, for example, 50 calories a week over a longer period of time. So in the end, what you will experience is that you will be getting weight, maybe not even getting weight, but you will be able to eat more and more and still stay lean or considerably lean. And I found it in myself, because I'm also tracking this information. Over the 2-3 months, I increased my calorie intake by about 1,000 calories. And I mean, I even lost some weight, which is like counterintuitive. And yes, I mean, I can imagine that the normal person or normal average person, or especially a person who is in this mindset of fear or being afraid of getting weight, would not do that, right? But then you are just damaging your body from the long-term perspective. So my point here is, if you are afraid to eat more, just do it slowly and your body will adapt, right? And this goes back even to the point that you mentioned, the set point weight. So basically your set point will increase until some level, especially if it has been lowered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your question?
No, it was not a question. It was more like a comment that, yeah, you know, because when you mentioned like that when you start eating, let's say normally, you can get weight. So mm-hmm. if you are afraid of getting weight, instead of starting eating from, let's say, one day 1,000 calories and from tomorrow I start eating 2,000, instead of doing that, just do it gradually over a longer period of the time, and probably you will even improve your health in that way and improve. Yeah, your body needs that longer time. You have been restricting for a long time, so you need to also gradually increase it over the long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if it works for some people, then great. And maybe this method, like the reverse dieting, maybe this can work for people who are just like, you know, like average, like dieters and stuff. But people with like eating disorders, then I think like this is different. For example, mm-hmm. like I wanted to also like do gradual recovery. But for me, it didn't work because I just felt so deprived. And my body forced me to binge eat. It wasn't my decision. Like my body, you know, like this primal hunger kicks in, like the extreme hunger. You can't even decide to like, oh, just gonna increase 500 calories a week or something.
Okay.
So that's why, like for me, like I needed to let go fully and just like trust my body. And actually, if your body is meant to be lower lower set point naturally, then over time, no matter if you go through the extreme hunger or whatever, if you overshoot your set point weight, then actually, like, after recovery, the body weight will restore itself naturally, even when you overshoot your set point weight. And many people, yes, they choose the slow method because the fear is strong. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of like how your brain, functions in eating disorder is that when you, you need to reprogram your brain, and you have to understand that the fear of weight gain, this is like an eating disorder based fear. Like it's
definitely,
you know, the fear that keeps you in restriction. And if you have like if you can choose food, like I either respond to my full hunger, or if I will respond to my eating disorder, you know, wanting me to do it slowly, then I am like, by doing it slowly, I'm giving my brain a message that yes, we are still afraid of food. Let's like, mm-hmm. Food is not safe. We are still choosing the lower amount of food because like you are like rewriting what the eating disorder wants. So this is why just for the brain to reprogram itself, it's very important to like let go like fully. But I understand the fear of weight gain, it's totally there for everybody.
Yeah.
Like this is one of the like number one thing I deal with every day, the fear of weight gain. But actually for me in my recovery, as I said, I didn't even have the option to just increase slowly. My body just took over like what I wanted to do. And I was like, well, I can't restrict, so I might as well just like respond to it and hope that it will work. And it did work. And over time, actually by seeing my body eating so much food, and seeing that after that I had, like restored hunger cues, like normal eating, I lost all my cravings. My weight didn't spiral out of control because I got healthy again. Then actually like responding to my full hunger, it kind of like, it like demolished all of my fears about weight. But if I would have got there like slowly, maybe I would still be afraid that what if someday like I never got like the physical proof that nothing bad happens, yeah. even when I respond to my full hunger. So actually like it helped me so much to let go of that fear rather than responding to it and saying to my brain that yes, we need to do it slowly, food is not safe. Like getting overweight is the number one thing to fear on this planet, so let's just like agree with that. So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, answer with like two sides. Yeah.
Okay. So how long did it actually take you to recover from the eating disorder?
Yeah, for me, it took 1 year to recover. But I was searching for the information like long before that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I started to like I tried to not restrict calories like way before my actual recovery started. So, but the full recovery period for me was about 1 year, I would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back to kind of like normal eating, and I just felt like normal around foods. And
yeah, what about the people that work with you? What is the, what would you say is the average, or, you know, like, for example, I'm a person who wants to recover. I'm interested about this information, and I don't have time to research all of this, so I'm putting myself into your hands, so I have all the information, which is the point of coaching also, right? And yeah, what time frame can I think about?
Yeah, like again, like I can't promise any time frames, but
yes, of course.
If you take for yourself like 1 year to put like everything you got to this like recovery, I would say like in a year from now, you would see amazing results. Because for example, like just yesterday, I was talking to one of my clients, and we started to work 6 months ago, and she was recovering from bulimia and also like overeating, binging and stuff. And she is going to this recovery group. other people with like bulimia and overeating and anorexia. Mm-hmm. And in the group, she's the one who is most recovered by now. So like obviously it's only 6 months, but she has done like amazing progress in just 6 months. Imagine another 6 months. And people were asking her questions like, how did you do it? Like, how did you got so far? Like, what do you recommend? Like, we want to know. And also I have one woman, like we started to work about a year ago, like more than a year, in September last year. And she was like, she had anorexia, she was underweight, and she was just like starting out her recovery, like not knowing anything. And we have worked now for 1 year, and she had eating disorder for 33 years. And she went through like treatment centers and clinics, and she was told that based on her age and as like long, like how long she has been recovery, she has 1% chance of ever being recovered. So, and now a year from now, she's helping her friend to recover from anorexia based on what we have kind of like work together and know, because she's kind of like, she's not like fully there, but she's kind of like in the last stages, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like just 33 years, like what you can just do from 1 year of consistent work you put into your recovery. Yeah. And this is very much dependent on if you have the focus on your recovery every day, like working with somebody or a coach, or just like by yourself, always putting in the effort. Not mm-hmm. being like one day you are recovering and next day you are like dieting. Or if you're constantly relapsing because of all of the, you know, like recovery symptoms you may have, like digestive issues, bloating, you are gaining weight, you freak out, you relapse. This will also make your recovery like longer because of that. So if you can put like consistent work like every day, then just like in 1 year from now, you can't even like recognize yourself, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important to note that we have a tendency to think to that from the long-term perspective, like 1 year is a very long time. Like, Jesus Christ, I don't want to wait 1 year, right? We want instant gratification nowadays. But yeah, like let's say the 6 months that your client got through, it's like the 6 months, when I look back at my life, for example, 6 months ago, it passed very fast. It is very fast. So, I mean, when you put that also in the perspective of your whole life, it's like, it's nothing.
It's nothing. Because like, as I said, like this client who had anorexia, she had this anorexia for 33 years. So what is 1 year? And the other client who has like, who's recovering from bulimia, she had this for 10 years. So what is 1 year? And also if you compare it to the rest of your life, you have to live either with your eating disorder, like next, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years with your eating disorder, or you can be recovered all of those years you have left to live, then isn't it worth it? Yeah, it's just like, to me, there's like no question. Like, of course it's worth it, because eating disorder doesn't only affect your eating. It affects your social life. It affects your health, your physical, mental health, your relationship, your work, your career, your goals, your dreams, your, I don't know, plans with your family. If you have family, some people don't have family because they are having like eating disorder for like all their years. So it's just like, it's a whole life's change, like the recovery. And 1 year is just like, yeah.
It's a great investment. That it is a great investment into one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, just all your life.
So what are some of the signs that I might consider that, well, I would do good if I started with the recovery? Because, you know, like if you have, let's say, an extreme case, it's obvious, right? Like you have this, let's say, bulimia, or really you feel like anorexic. But if you are, let's say, how would you identify the early stages of that? Mm-hmm. So basically, maybe, you know, it's more beneficial to prevent it than to treat it when you are too deep into that, right?
Yeah, for me, really, like, any kind of dieting is, like, the first stages of, like, starting to get there. Some people don't get there to full-blown eating disorder, but they get to this, like, disordered eating when they're constantly worried about food, stressing about food. They are overeating, having binge eating episodes. They are, like, fearful of eating something. And then if they eat this, they have this guilt. They feel like they have done a sin. They feel that now they need to compensate by, like, exercising. Those are just, like, to me, like, really the early signs of, like, stepping into eating disorder. And it's very sad because some people don't wake up before they have the full-blown eating disorder because they kind of, like, you need that, like, the darkest point possible to take, like, take a step to change something. And some people never get to full-blown eating disorder, but they always stay with this disordered eating for the rest of their lives, simply because it's not that bad, you know. And I have I have friends like this, and it's just like, and because it's kind of, some days it's good, some days it's like worse, but it's never kind of like the eating disorder. And that's why they never do anything to change it. But actually, if you only have the disordered eating, it's so easy to change compared to somebody who has a full-blown eating disorder and be kind of this normal or intuitive eater. Just, like, trust your body and live your life, like, fully and not worry about your body and food all the time. It's so so much easier to fix than years of, like, full-blown eating disorder. But it's so sad that people don't wake up before it's kind of like the worst case scenario.
And I think it's also important to consider, for example, how much it impacts one's life, because I mean, if you are an athlete, then you might have these, not episodes, but times when you need to restrict eating, and you do that to reach certain goals, like weight goals or whatever, performance goals. But it might not be viable for you from the long perspective, or for your social life or whatever. And in that case, it's why I think important to consider, like, how much impact it has on you. If it's like making you really feel bad, feel having no energy throughout the day, or it is just like a mild case scenario, like we could call that, like, this disordered eating, not full blown anorexia or whatever. So
And actually, like you mentioned, the, like, who have, like, some goals in fitness or something. And I have done, like, three interviews with people who recover from the fitness dieting, fitness competition, you know, like, being the, participating in fitness, fitness competition. And they all say that it's just, like this industry, Elisa, is full of your clients, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That was, like, that was the bodybuilding competitions, no? Right?
Bodybuilding, yes. Yeah. So it's very slippery road there, I would say.
Yes, and another one industry for you is definitely, like, runners and endurance athletes, like cyclists and so on.
And also other industries, like modeling, you know, like ballet, or like any industry where you have to have some kind of, like, physical appearance. Even people who have these kind of jobs, for example, in television, where you have to look in certain way to be accepted, and you have to kind of have some diet thing going on, exercise regime. So it's like, there's, like, a lot, like, our world is soaked in the diet bullshit, I would say. Just, like, everywhere. It's everywhere.
I was listening to one interview, like, recently, and there was a cyclist, or former cyclist, and he mentioned that he was like a professional, so they had this kind of contract where they were training, but he had to move to a certain place. So he was living in a house with other cyclists, and they would go train together, eat together, so basically live together for example, for 1 year or whatever. And I think it was in Spain. I'm not sure right now, but they had a fridge, and their coach locked the fridge in certain times, like basically they were prohibited from eating in that way, for let's say from lunch to dinner or whatever, which is like unbelievable, you know. And considering that, for example, the cyclists, these endurance, they spend or burn a lot of calories throughout the day.
Yeah, like, and I wonder what is the logic behind here, like why it's
It was for performance reasons, you know, like the lighter you are, the better, you know, you want to have the good power ratio to your weight, so to keep the weight lower. But in the end, he said that actually eating whenever he wants and eating intuitively also improved his performance. So
your body is so smart.
Yes,
like, how can exactly. You think that, like, we can just decide how much our body should weight, you know, like we can't decide like how much my body should sleep or how much I should breathe, you know, like like my body just needs those functions for a reason. It's not like, no, there is no reason behind it, so I just need to control it. Like, what?
Yeah, but exactly like you mentioned now, the word control, I think, is very important. We want to control this. That's why we do that. And why do we want to control this? I suppose that because we feel a certain kind of feelings that we cannot control. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we feel the need to control something, maybe something different. Maybe you feel like you are not in control of your relationships, so you control your diet instead. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think this could go much, much deeper, and we would not be able to answer exactly what that is. And that is why it's important also to work with a coach. And I see that this is the main point of coaching, right? To have this personal relationship and figuring these things out, and it also takes some time. So yeah, letting go of control over a longer period of time.
And really the consistency is key, like in recovery, because, like, for example, if you, like, let's say you recover on your own, then all of the, like, so many people around you are kind of buying into the, like, thinness idealization and dieting and stuff. So you can't even differentiate, like, what is the healthy mindset and what is the unhealthy mindset. So it's very important to have somebody in your life who will, like, constantly, like, tell you, like, what is helping you to recover. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you just get so confused, like what is the right thing, because everybody around you is telling you to kind of, like, look certain way, eat something like what they think is healthy for you, not eat. So you get so confused, and this is why with my clients, like, we do a lot of, like, repetition, mm-hmm. a lot of, like, reassurance, like, over again, the message of recovery, so they really kind of, like, they change their, like, thinking, like, underlying thinking about their body and their food. Otherwise it's just like it doesn't stick.
Yes, exactly.
You don't engage in it, like, on a daily basis. Otherwise it's just like all of the years you have been in this diet mindset and restricting and eating disorder, it's just like so ingrained in your brain, and that's why you need to undo it by, like, just a constant repetition work basically. Unbrainwashing yourself.
Yeah, definitely. That takes time. And if anybody is telling you that you could recover from whatever or change your life in 30 days or something like that, it's not real. I mean, you could get the knowledge, you could get the all this information and these kind of things, but doing it over and over again and instilling new habits and patterns and mindsets, this is what takes time. And
exactly,
yeah, that's what is important, like you said, consistency.
Yeah, and this is why, like, even let's say, like, from first day, you know everything you need to know about recovery. You know exactly what you need to do. Then does it mean that you can be recovered right away? No. You need to implement. You need to practice. You need to reprogram your brain. You need to, as you said, like, develop new habits. You need to constantly reaffirm to your brain. You need to actually develop a new belief system, new, like, who you are as a person. You need to, like, you need to reinvent, like, who you are as a person compared to, like, who you always tried to be, but it was never sustainable or healthy. So that's why, like, just the knowledge is not enough. Actually, like, the action you take on a daily basis and the implementation is, like, what it takes to recover, because it doesn't only help the knowledge about recovery or just you and me talking about it. It's the action you take on a daily basis, you know.
Yes, like with any addiction, I would say. It's emotional. So, yeah, you need to change your emotional state and these things. It's like, it's not sensible. So, yeah, this is what takes the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't have any more questions for you or anything that I would like to mention. I don't know. Is there anything you would add to the topic?
I don't know. I would say, like, if you are interested more, then you can definitely check out my YouTube channel, Follow the Intuition, and my website. And I have a free video course and a book you can read. And if you want to learn more about this, then definitely you can start I can't remember the word.
Follow intuition.
Find me on YouTube and I will help you progress further.
Yes, I mean, I will put the links in the show notes, definitely. And, well, anyway, I have two questions that I like to ask everybody, and that is, like, who or what inspires you in life or to do what you do?
Who or what inspires me? I think, like, I don't know if it's so selfish to say, but over the years, like, I have overcome so many things, like depression and stage fright and eating disorder and coming, like, overcoming all this. Like, sometimes I inspire myself to keep going and seeing, like, what is my power.
That's amazing. When you can inspire yourself.
Yeah, and really be grateful of what I have achieved and being proud of myself. Like, I can be inspired to other people. Like, there is, like, so many, like, my family and my friends, definitely, and people who helped me to, like, search about information about, like, how to recover and stuff. But just, like, yeah, like, I inspire myself to keep going because I know I'm possible to achieve so many stuff. So that's why, yeah, I'm just so grateful for that.
Okay, Alisa. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time that you found, and also that it was so fast, let's say. And yeah, for spreading your message, because I think it's very important for people to know. And it's a topic that is very important because many people are confused about the diet, what to eat, what not to eat, and really, I think we should focus on letting go of all these restrictions. And like you said, the intuitive eating, this is the main message that I got from the from talking with you, is not only about not being afraid to eat all these kind of meals, but of course you want to use also your brain. It's not only about being intuitive, like, I'm hungry now and I will eat now whatever, but the combination of intuition and also some knowledge or brain. So I think this is the main message.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.